In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is risen.
Indeed, he is risen.
We consider ourselves very reasonable and logical, and we definitely, each one of us, favor our own opinions. And when we're reading, whether it's the news, politics, religion, whatever it is, when we read and we understand and we form our own opinions, we can easily be convinced within ourselves and form a habit of seeing the world through very specific lenses. Now, it is hard to convince a true believer of anything besides what they believe. By true believer, I don't mean a Christian. I mean someone who really believes in their ideology or their opinion or their politics or whatever it may be. You see, the way the human mind works, the way the human heart works, is often when we hold something strongly, that we begin to see it everywhere. We become, as they say in psychology, we enter in with a confirmation bias. That everywhere we look, our opinion becomes validated. Evidence that is brought that would invalidate our opinion, we easily dismiss. Evidence that is brought that confirms it, whether real or not, is grasped onto and added as more proof towards our own self-opinionation. And this is just human nature. It is the way people are. Today we have an example of this in the scriptures. The miracle of Jesus healing the blind man. We have first to present to you the bias of the disciples and the surprising answer they hear. The disciples ask Jesus, why is this man blind? Was it his parents? Or is it his own sin? This is binary thinking. Either or. It has to be either his sin or perhaps his parents' sin. Jesus answers that it is neither. He doesn't give it a both and, it is neither. It is outside of the paradigm that they're thinking of. And for them, that's a revelation, that's a new thing, that the glory of God may be revealed. After Jesus heals this man's eyes, you have those who experience him and confirm that indeed his eyes are open. But when he is brought forth before the Pharisees, they have already decided that if anyone confesses Christ, that he will be put out of the synagogue. They have a very direct bias. And the bias says that either this man wasn't healed. In other gospels, we hear that healings are possibly done by the devil or Beelzebub, as is mentioned. The Pharisees say that he works by the power of the demons. But the bias is so strong that even though someone who had been healed of blindness from birth, confirmed by their parents, confirmed by the people who used to watch him beg in front of the temple, that they could simply be blind to this and deny it. This should teach us something. Number one, it should teach us that we don't want to be biased in anything. When I say that, I mean ideologically. I mean we have to have open hearts. If there is one bias that Christians are allowed to have, and really one bias that should inform everything we do and the way we look at reality, it is that Jesus is Lord. And quite literally, I wish more Christians saw through those lenses in every way, including myself. As I mentioned last week when I talked about conspiracy and this notion of the divine conspiracy, Christians are asked to see Christ in everything, in all of their circumstances, And if there is to be any sort of confirmation bias that Christians are meant to have, it is that God is in control, that He loves us, and that ultimately that whatever is going on around us is purposeful and meaningful for our salvation. And that can be confirmed over and over again. But as far as ideologies, politics, religious opinions, these things that we so grasp onto have a way of making us blind to everything else. They have a way, if you noticed in today's gospel, how dehumanizing it is for these Pharisees who can't believe that Jesus could heal this man, who can't acknowledge that he is a prophet or the Christ, have to interrogate and disbelieve and put down the circumstances so that the narrative fits within their pre-established narrative. We often dehumanize people with our narratives as we look for excuses and reasons. The second thing that we can learn from this is that it does no good to argue with people who are ideologically possessed. You're not going to convince the Pharisees that Jesus is the Christ. We see this. And so it behooves us to actually, with our open hearts, as we encounter other people, to listen to them, to try to hear where they're coming from, so that we don't waste our words trying to philosophize or trying to convince and convert people who in no way can hear what we're saying because they're possessed either by other ideologies or other forms of thought. You see this interestingly on the YouTube comment boxes, which is where the devil lives, by the way. And of course on Facebook as well and all these other places. How stupid and lengthy the arguments could be. I've gotten in very few of these arguments, but the ones I have gotten in, I've really tried to be so gentle and so nice and to say, well, if you perhaps consider this evidence and these things, every single time I end up just deleting the conversation because the person just thinks I'm an idiot. And everything they believe is right, and everything I believe is wrong, and who am I to teach anyways, and all of that other stuff. And this is the way it plays out in our society day after day on social network when we are presented with all of these idiots. Why is there everybody that believes different than me is an idiot? Not only are they an idiot, they're stupid. And their opinions, I mean, haven't they considered? This especially when you think about what's been going on, all the stress we've had in our society, and this kind of big thing that we've been dealing with is pressing upon us and we don't know how to deal with it. But let me ask you, has anything about you during this time away from church, or during this time, maybe you're coming to church as a choir, has anything changed about the way you approach the reality? Now, if we were to say that this virus was to strike us, and we knew a month ahead of time, and I wrote a dissertation about you, now, Presbyter Elena, this is exactly how she's going to take this virus. And Mr. Andrew over here, let me tell you what's going to happen. We are so predictable and locked into ourselves. But we're called to not only commit our lives to Christ, but to listen to the grace of the Holy Spirit. And if these Pharisees were open to the grace of the Holy Spirit, they would have recognized Christ because they would have recognized Him first in Moses' words and then in the acts and the works that He did. But they had blinded themselves. So, it's good enough to develop an allergy about your own opinions. Develop a sensitivity to yourself about how you see reality, more than likely there is some error in it somewhere. You're doing the best you can, we all are. But by being humble, by opening ourselves up to the possibility that we're wrong about some things, it softens our heart. It also tells us to place our hope in God, that the information and the way we respond to crisis and the way we respond to miracles and all these other things that we will encounter in our lives, our responses are meant to be determined by the grace of the Holy Spirit, not merely our own rigid ideologies or otherwise. May God help us to develop a Christian confirmation bias, a bias that sees Christ in everything, that looks for Him for everything, and that confirms the gospel in everything in everyday life. May He also help us develop an allergy to ourselves so that we can turn to Him in all things and be guided by the grace of the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is risen.
He is risen.